I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes, it is a Tuesday morning. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Attention, hotline fans.
You got Mikey B and Pete the Potty across the way. AB with your updates as we got 3 big hours to play with. Take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. And remember, check us out on Sirius 213 XM 201 961 on the app. All of our great affiliates all across the country, coast to coast and pillar to post. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose, at Official Taz with 1Z, at Mark Malusis with a C. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bro?
I am good. Thank you for asking, Moose. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's driving wasn't terrible. Thought it was going to be worse with the latest nor'easter to hit the northeast. That's three in the span of about 15 days.
Yeah.
But the Massachusetts area is going to get absolutely pounded with well over a foot of snow. So we think to everyone to our north as we sit here this morning, they're going to get well over a foot of snow. Not us, thank God.
But. Yeah. I was just in Massachusetts Saturday, so I'm glad I got the hell out of there. anyway, good luck to those people up there. Yeah. Everybody's safe.
And the first chip has fallen in NFL free agency as it gets going officially. 4 o'clock on Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern time, I should say, on Wednesday when these deals can become official. But we've seen a couple of pieces come off the old board. Number one, Allen Robinson, the oft-injured but very, very talented wide receiver. Looks like he's signing with the Chicago Bears. Going to get about $25 million guaranteed. I think it's, a three-year, $42 million deal.
Yep.
And then you look at Case Keenum. The particulars of the contract they have not seen as of yet. But when NFL free agency gets going, the first quarterback domino to fall, as Adam Schefter reported throughout through the overnight, and I think he was the first to report it, Taz, is that Case Keenum is going to be the quarterback, the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I think it's a really great move, in my opinion, for the Bronco fan nation and for the Broncos organization. I think Case, anybody that listens to this particular program that we do knows that I'm a big fan of this guy personally. I just think he's an overachiever. I think he's a guy that fights from underneath. He's a quasi-journeyman at a younger age. But, he came in there late to the dance for the Vikings last year and did a lot for them. He almost brought them to the promised land and threw for 3,500 yards. He had 22 or 23 touchdowns. I think it's a good move for the Broncos. But the key is, how will he do with the Broncos? Will he have the same success, right? He did with the Vikings, that they don't have that great defense to help him.
Right.
With the Broncos, that's not a great. I think.
Well, they have a good defense.
Solid. Yeah, but I think they were ranked last year in regular season like 20 or 21st.
Right, they weren't helped out because I think one worked with the other. Their defense was on the field for large stretches of the
true.
Game because
that's
the
true.
Offense was highly ineffective and the quarterback play was a disaster. So. I still think there's talent on that defense. Is there much talent on Denver's defense as there is Minnesota? No, I would not make that argument.
That's my point.
And they took a step forward with step backwards with getting rid of Aqib Talib, even though they believe Roby can step in and be a starting corner from them. Once a first round pick coming out of Ohio State, a very, very talented young defensive back. So, but I think they're better than what they showed you last year, Taz. I think last year they got frustrated. I think they got exposed. I think they were on the field for way too long. I think the offense was just so ineffective that the defense just, at certain points of games, threw in the white towel.
Yeah, no, I agree. The thing is, like what I'm saying, that's why I mentioned the Broncos' defense or lack thereof, in essence, but also, which we didn't get into yet, the weapons or lack thereof that the Broncos have offensively for or Case Keenum if he ends up there. I think it's a different landscape than what he's coming out of with the purple. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I think it's a different story look, it's no secret. It's pretty obvious, Captain Obvious here. I mean, last year the Vikings were a lot better team than the Broncos.
Yeah.
So you get a lot more resources if you're a quarterback like Case, who needs the resources. He's not a guy like a Brady or when Peyton Manning was in his prime that could make the most out of a little. That's not his deal, this guy, Case Keenum. He needs resources. He does.
Yeah, and Denver, you would have to imagine that a couple things hit me. Number one is that the Broncos, and they must have gotten word that, and we'll get to the Cousins letter, goodbye letter to the Redskin faithful yesterday here momentarily here, Taz, in a little bit. But yeah. Elway must have gotten word that he was just basically not in the running for Kirk Cousins because they pulled the ripcord on those negotiations real quick. They look at Keenum. I'm curious to see what the financial commitment is to Case Keenum. I wonder if that changes at all in terms of how they view Keenum as being their guy for the next 5 years, or do they view Case Keenum as a stopgap measure and then address the quarterback once again in April's NFL draft and trying to find a long-term solution. I think those are all intriguing answers. It's interesting. Usually when John Elway pinpoints a guy, usually he's able to get that guy.
Right,
but
right.
And they were interested in Kirk Cousins. It does not seem to be Kirk Cousins. The Denver Broncos were the apple of the eye of Captain Kirk. I find that to be fascinating. I find it to be fascinating the fact that Keenum is the first chip to fall. And if you're him, you're looking for some sort of stability. You're looking for some sort of a commitment. You want to be the starter someplace. And any kind of financial pact or commitment that a team is willing to give you when this got going on March 12th yesterday, I think you're looking to jump at because you're looking to be a starter next year, not compete for a starting job.
I agree. And I personally feel that Case has earned that. And I know sometimes in the NBA or the NFL or NHL, any pro level elite deal, it's not about what you earn, it's about what you do or what you just did recently. So, but I'm just saying, I really feel like that he's proven himself, Case Keenum. But, the Broncos are also in a position to what you said to your point a few seconds ago, with the draft coming up in April here, that they can make a move. They get the number fifth pick, in the first round. So, one of these highly hyped quarterbacks from Donald or Rosen or Allen or Mayfield can end up right there in Bronco land and maybe work under Case Keenum.
Yeah, they could, or maybe they address the offensive line, which has been downright terrible out in Denver for a little while here, and maybe they go with Quentin Nelson if he's sitting there with the fifth overall pick. Maybe it's a case where they decide to trade down and add more assets and more picks. I mean, the Buffalo Bills, your squad, is probably going to be looking to trade up after the deal that they made yesterday, and now they are at 12 and 22 in the first round, and with their second round and third round selections, Taz, they certainly have enough to be able to move into the top five of the NFL draft. I think some have said they can get to as high as four with the draft assets that they have right now. So, I mean, I think it's interesting to see what the Broncos do. I'm curious about the money Keenum is going to get when this becomes official tomorrow. But I thought, in essence, that the first chip would be that Kirk Cousins,
yeah, I agree,
would fall
before we
saw Keenum, Bradford, Bridgewater, these other guys signed someplace else. I thought every team would be
Tyrod too.
Another yeah, Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. Right. Tyrod Taylor is now a member of the Cleveland Browns right. After making that trade. He's going to be the 1 year stopgap measure. So I thought maybe he would be the guy. I really thought he would be the guy in the first chip to fall before everybody else.
Yeah. I think it's a thing, man. I don't know what you think, but like Elway, it's probably, I'm just assuming this, it's like, I'm thinking Elway probably just feels like, yeah, you know what? Like, it's just the guy wants too much money, and I don't think from a player's perspective he's not worth that amount of money. I mean, that's what I think it is. It's just they probably just figured, whatever, like you kind of said, let's just move on and go with someone who maybe wants to be here with us in Denver and someone that's not looking to us to roll in a plethora of Brinks trucks. That means a lot of money, so people that don't know who Brinks are.
Or they got word that Cousins did not want to sign with Denver.
Well, that's true, right, because you don't want a guy that doesn't want to be with you.
Well, so right, or then you have to move on. Then you have to make sure that when the music stops, you have a chair to sit in. And you're not sitting there with no quarterback after free agency comes to an end. And I don't know. I mean, Everything you heard for the past number of months is that they were going to be all in on Cousins. I would probably lean more to the latter than the former in terms of the financial commitment, especially with the cap number going up, and it's got up $100 million over the last 15 years, Taz. But, I mean, we'll, when the Keenum deal becomes official, we'll get more and more word. And when Cousins eventually decides where he is going to go, we're going to get more and more word in terms of how everything did unfold. And it might prove to be correct. It might be a case where John Elway looked at Kirk Cousins and said, I don't think he's worth the financial package and the commitment we're going to have to sacrifice in too many other places. Something that we talked about at the time, remember?
Yeah.
You talked about assets, and I brought up the very fact of if they make and give Kirk Cousins $30 million guaranteed over the next 3 years, and even maybe more so, when you look at that kind of guaranteed money, the Broncos are going to not be able to roll out the same team they did in 17 in 2018 because they can't financially afford it. So he might have said, all right, well, we're good enough in these other spots. We think Keenum is on the come, right? We think Keenum last year was the start of something,
yeah,
a good run for him. It's not going to take as big of a financial commitment. He is an upgrade over what we had last year. We'll go with Case Keenum. I don't know that answer.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I got to tell you this much, and you could listen to any, you know, NFL insider, NFL expert, including former players. You could do all of that stuff. Any radio host, anybody you want. At the end of the day, I do trust John Elway's breakdown, assessment, and opinions of quarterbacks. I think he's more than qualified to say who's great, who's going to be great, who's legit, who's not legit when it comes to guys on the center or in the shotgun. And so that's why I'm thinking, all right, you know what? He believes in Keenum. Keenum wants to be there, and it fits financially. And they made that move. And how do you not trust Elway?
Yeah,
when it comes to that position, you know.
When it comes in veterans, with youngsters, I would say Paxton Lynch was a disastrous draft choice. That was a bad one.
Well, that's true.
In a first round pick.
Very true. Yeah.
So I would say veterans, you're right. He went after Peyton Manning hard and brought Peyton in.
That worked.
And now, yes, that worked. And he brought now Case Keenum aboard. When that deal becomes official 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, I think they've had an issue looking at the college quarterback and seeing exactly how that quarterback would transition to the NFL. But if you're looking at a trust, a financial commitment, Taz, doing whatever you could do to win, we talked about with Cousins, right? A trust factor. I'll put the Keenum decision aside. Who do you trust to build a team around a quarterback to win? Who do you trust in order to assemble a roster? I think you could easily make the argument that you as a quarterback would trust John Elway being able to assemble the right roster around you to win football games. And so that's to play the argument. I don't know if I'd necessarily make the quarterback argument because of the struggles with the draft, but I would say in terms of trusting an executive to do right by his team, to be able to spend wisely and understand what his team needs to win. Yeah, I agree with you. I think John Elway understands what he's doing.
Yeah, but I think you just made a very good point, you know, in regards to like a Paxton Lynch and stuff like that, you know, where Elway maybe, or a guy coming out of college, you know, we'll see with the fifth pick if Elway makes the right decision. I think, you know, in defense to Elway when it comes to that, though, and it's kind of hard to figure, you know, a kid coming out of college, can he fit in our system? Will he work?
Right.
In our system, right? You know, how can he deal with the game now that it's even that much faster than D1 football? You know, because the NFL, as fast as D1 ball is, I don't care what conference you're in, there's nothing like the NFL. I mean, you hear it time and time again for decades for former players. It's the truth. So that the game changes rapidly. The game's a lot faster for quarterbacks to make that mental decision. So you might have a kid that's phenomenal. I remember when, what's his name? It was the big kid out of LSU, Russell.
Jamarcus Russell.
I thought that guy, and I don't know about what you thought, a lot of people thought he was going to be like the man. That guy was gigantic. I was on a flight with him the day after he, coincidentally, we're on the same flight, the day after the draft. He was flying out of New York, and I don't remember where I was flying, and he was on the same flight. And we were two rows away from each other on a plane. I cannot begin to tell you how massive of a human that guy is. I'm like, this guy is a quarterback. And I thought he was going to be the man with the Raiders. And good Lord, he stunk.
Yeah, so he did not commit. He was terrible. Had issues away from the football field with drugs, too. So, I mean, there were a lot of issues with Jamarcus Russell after getting drafted at LSU. But I agree with you. I think when you looked at his skill set And there are a lot of guys that you look at college game, you look at their skill set and say, oh, they'll be able to transition to the National Football League. And for one reason or the other, and every story is different in terms of failures and first-round draft bust. But, yeah, Russell had a cannon for an arm. Everything that you wanted for a collegiate a quarterback to transition to the NFL, the problem he had, it was the commitment, being willing to be great, to be able to sacrifice, keeping himself in shape. And he had some personal demons away from the football field as well. So you're right. I mean, when you looked at him,
he was an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah. I mean, you looked at him in LSU. I mean, he could throw it through a hurricane. I mean, he could have that kind
he's
of.
He's a monster, man. Yeah. He could throw a ball.
Absolutely. You know? So, I mean, people miss on quarterbacks all the time.
Yep.
For Elway, they've got their quarterback. It's going to be Case Keenum. We want to get your thoughts at 855-212-4227. If you're a Bronco fan, are you fired up? Are you excited that your quarterback in 2018 is going to be the former Viking Case Keenum? Are you disappointed it's not Kirk Cousins? Do you think it's the right decision? We'll get into Cousins and his free agency and the latest and greatest with Captain Kirk. We'll do that next. Taz and the Moose as we roll right along on a big Tuesday morning program right here on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Taz and the Moose here on this Tuesday morning on CBS Sports Radio. AB is in the house with an update. Good morning, AB.
Guys, good morning. That update's brought to you by Barbasol. Barbasol is finally making razors. That's a no-brainer. Check out the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save on the Ultra 6 Plus at Barbasol.com. We can remove the Broncos from Kirk Cousins' contention. Denver said to be signing former Viking QB Case Keenum once allowed to tomorrow afternoon. The terms of the deal not reported yet. Cousins, meanwhile, wrote a goodbye letter to Washington fans yesterday and tagged the Vikings and Jets in that message. Wideout Allen Robinson expected to join the Bears through a three-year deal worth about $25 million in guarantees. Robinson tore an ACL in the Jaguars' opener last season. Veteran corner Orlando Scandrick has reportedly asked the Cowboys to release him, and tight end Cameron Brait signs a six-year extension said to be worth $18 million guarantees with the Buccaneers. Damian Lillard at it again in Portland.
Now Lillard, double teamed, Olynyk in the area, five to shoot. Dame looks at the clock, he takes the near side three. Yes, sir! Magruder gave him just enough space, and Lillard made him pay. His 7 3-pointer, 30 points for the night.
Brian Wheeler, Blazers radio. Lillard finished with 32 plus 10 assists, fighting off a late Heat rally for a 115-99 victory. That's 10 straight wins for Portland. 19 of 20 for the Rockets. They down the Spurs in Houston, 109-93. Greg Popovich says he'll meet today in San Antonio with Kawhi Leonard about his return Thursday against the Pelicans. The reported target, Leonard has not played since January 13th because of his quad issue. Elsewhere last night, the Thunder got by the Kings 106-101, and Milwaukee got a 121-103 win in Memphis. That's 18 straight losses for the Grizzlies. The NCAA tournament begins tonight, the first night of the first four in Dayton, Ohio. 6:40 Eastern tip for LIU Brooklyn and Radford, followed by St. Bonaventure and UCLA. The UConn women are the top seed in their bracket for the 12th straight March. Notre Dame, Louisville, and Mississippi State, the other one seeds. History on ice in D.C.
Loose in front of Hellebuyck, lost his goal stick. Wilson with a chance. Rebound, they score! And there it is! On the rebound, Alex Ovechkin, the 20th player in National Hockey League history to score 600 goals!
John Walton on Capitals Radio, as he said, Ovechkin the 20th, the fourth fastest to get to 600. He had two goals last night in a 3-2 overtime win over the Jets. And it's Venus Williams ending Serena's return to the WTA Tour, a third-round win last night at Indian Wells in California. Serena had missed 14 months while pregnant and having her daughter. Guys?
All right, you got it. It'd be appreciated. 855-212-4CBS. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all right now at geico.com.
Hey, Norm in Minneapolis, you are on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Norm?
Well, Case Keenum, congratulations. He did a good job for the Vikings last year, and I wish him well in Denver. I think the Denver fans are great. John Elway's a great guy, and now that gives us in Minnesota a chance to make some moves. Now, maybe we'll succeed with Kirk Cousins. I would like to see him come. He's young. He's established. We haven't had too many great quarterbacks in Minnesota. We've had a few, but unlike other teams. So I'm optimistic as a Vikings fan that we might be able to move forward. And, of course, if we don't succeed, we'll be able to do something with Bridgewater. But I felt last year as a Viking fan, as an usher, I went to all the games. I was at the Super Bowl. The Vikings simply were not up to the quality of Super Bowl, but now I think maybe we were moving in that direction. I'm not saying we're going to go there, but at least we're in a little better position. I'm not too worried about spending the money. I think the Wilf family in Minnesota has proven that not only are they willing to take the money from the citizens of Minnesota and build a fine stadium, right, but they're willing to spend a lot of money on making the team great. And that's,
hey, no, let me interrupt you, Ron. Let me interrupt you, sir. So what happens? Let's play pretend. So let's say Kirk Cousins goes where he's probably going to go, and that's to the New York Jets. Then what happens? What do you guys do then?
Well, if that happens, I would say we would go with Bridgewater, who's pretty good. Of course, we would like to have Cousins. As a fan, I'd like to have Cousins.
Right.
I don't know that the New York Jets would be a particularly good fit for him. I don't think that the Jets are going to be in contention. By the way, the Vikings are going to play the Jets. I'm looking forward to traveling out there and attending a game.
Nice.
There,
but there you go.
That's very nice.
And on the road.
That's awesome, Norm, and we appreciate you calling. That's great. Good job, buddy.
So you're looking upgrade. I mean, that's basically it. And Cousins would be an upgrade over Keenum.
I don't think Bridgewater's taking the Super Bowl, though. That's all I'm saying. You know,
I don't know. I mean, I root for Bridgewater.
We don't know what he is, though, right?
Yeah, I don't know what
that's
he is.
A bad injury.
I'm not sure. Hopefully he's able to get back on the football field. And I think that the way that the offense performed and how brutal the offense was in the NFC Championship game really led a bitter taste in the mouths of a lot of Vikings executives and fans in terms of Keenum. It took a miracle to beat the Saints, an unbelievable play. He goes to Denver, and I think the Minnesota Vikings looked at Keenum and said, you know, he gave us a good year, but I don't know if we're necessarily, and we're not going to invest long-term where he is going to be the solution, especially where you have a Kirk Cousins out there and you're going to chase that golden goose because he is a better quarterback than Case Keenum. Now, if they fall short on that, then we'll see exactly how they circle the wagons then, Taz. But I think they looked at Cousins as a major upgrade.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know I've been saying for a while, and I believe you agreed for a while, that Cousins is going to end up with the Jets, and we'll find out very soon. But regardless, wherever he ends up, if it's the Cardinals, if it's the Jets, or whatever, wherever he ends up, Kirk Cousins, I'll tell you what, my man, good luck, because you got a lot of pressure on you already, because you got a lot of hype and a lot of expectation, making a lot of money, wherever that is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, he's gonna take it, and he'll take that pressure. And I'll tell you, he's going to be successful. He's a good player.
He's a good player.
If you put the right talent around him, he's a better player than the rest of them in free agency. He is. He's better than Keenum. He's better than Bridgewater. He's better than Bradford. He's better than a lot of them. So he threw for nearly 5,000 yards 2 years ago.
Right,
so
right.
It's not a matter of – I know he's going to get paid a lot of money, but there is talent there, and there's a lot to like about Kirk Cousins too. But
yeah, I agree. I'm not saying he's going to play bad. I'm just saying that it definitely is a gun to his head for sure.
The way
he goes. Hey, Gary in Alabama, you are on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, man?
How's it going, guys?
What's up,
Gary?
I wanted to comment on the Vikings and quarterback situation. I'm really not a big fan of Kirk Cousins. I was really hoping the Vikings would go after A.J. McCarron.
Mm. Are you a Vikings fan? I'm just curious. Are you a Vikings fan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been a Vikings fan since middle school. I'm 35.
You're 35 years of age. Oh. You're a Vikings fan. You're an Alabama fan, I take it?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you want
A.J. McCarron over there.
A.J. McCarron, your college quarterback, to now be the the quarterback of your NFL team. I can understand that.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And no one's saying that that's not a possibility. It could happen if Cousins goes someplace else. McCarron hasn't signed anywhere.
Right. When Andy Dalton got hurt, AJ took over and did a. See, I'm not a Bengals fan, but I was impressed what he did with the Bengals. Got him to the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken.
They did go to the postseason.
Thank you, Gary. We appreciate it.
They ended up collapsing in that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was the perfect hit on Antonio Brown. It was one of the great collapses in Bengal playoff history. But put that aside, you're right. He did take him to the postseason. And I think McCarron's the type of guy, to play to the caller's point, where, Taz, if you put the right guys around him,
he could play.
He could play. I think he can, and he's another quarterback that's looking for an opportunity where it's not going to take a huge financial commitment. And can he play to the level of Case Keenum? If you put him in with a healthy Dalvin Cook, with the receivers, an improved offensive line, and with that defense, could the Minnesota Vikings win with A.J. McCarron? Yeah, I think they can win McCarron.
I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, right? So my team now, we're looking for a quarterback, and that's obviously there's going to be a move made here, you know, with the draft with a young quarterback. But, I mean, there's been tiny scuttlebutt here and there. A.J. McCarron could go to Buffalo. I thought he was great at Alabama. The kid was tremendous. There's no doubt. He's kind of untapped as a fan of a football team that's in search of a quarterback right now. And I hate to say negatively about AJ because we don't know that much about him. I don't know if I really want him on the Bills, to be honest with you. I'm just saying. So I can understand that last caller. He's from Alabama. He's an Alabama football fan. So he's obviously an AJ fan. And he's a Vikings fan. So he'd rather see AJ instead of Case with the Vikings. I get it. As a Bills fan looking for a quarterback, I don't know if I want him. I don't even know if I want Kirk Cousins. I don't know if I want. We're not getting him anyway, but I'm just saying. He's going to the Jets, dude.
Jets or Vikings. I think that's it. Whether or not if he really wants to win and the financial package is close.
Well, not Vikings. Oh. You said not for. I'm talking about Cousins.
Yeah, Jets or Vikings.
Oh, Vikings. Oh, well, we got Case going over to the what do you call it? Who are we talking about? We're talking about Cousins? Did I get in ahead of you?
Cousins.
Oh, Cousins.
Cousins,
yeah. What did you say?
I don't know.
I thought I said maybe I got the C's messed up.
Oh, I got you. No, C's you said K's Cousins. You said you don't want Cousins to go to the Bills.
Yeah.
And you said, I think he's going to end up with the Jets. I said, yes. Jets or Vikings. Yes. And then you said, no, not the Vikings.
I said, no, not the Vikings. Right. Strike that from the podcast, okay. Mike.
Thank you.
I was thinking of something else.
I got you. No worries. All good.
I'm not worried.
I thought.
I'm good.
No, all good.
I'm human.
Cousins goes. Right. Yes. And it's a matter of if he decides to go and if what he said initially about 5-6 weeks ago, that he wants to go to a spot to win right away.
Right.
If you're looking to go to a situation to win right away, it would be the Minnesota Vikings. It would be Kirk. It would be the what they have after losing in the NFC Championship game. That team is made to order. They've got a defense. They got playmakers on the outside. They got a stud running back in Dalvin Cook returning, coming off a torn ACL. There's a lot to like about the Minnesota Vikings. You play indoors 8 games of the year. He's a kid from the general vicinity of that area. So there's things to like about the Minnesota Vikings, but there's the draw of New York City. There's the draw of the Jets, and the Jets, conceivably speaking, can offer a lot more financially than the Minnesota Vikings can. So it'll be interesting to see where Cousins does end up.
It's not just that, in my opinion, Moose. I think it's more than, I hate to say this with these guys, it's more than the money with Cousins. Why I'm so firm on him going to the Jets, it's because I think with the Jets, he has an opportunity, and I've said it before, to be the man on that team. Like, I think he has an opportunity to feel like he could maybe take them to the AFC Championship, do something heavy duty with them where he doesn't have a plethora of resources. Yeah, he wants resources to kick ass. I get that. But I just feel like with the Jets, it kind of like he could kind of call his shot and get the money. Like, you know what I mean? He would be the guy. That's what I'm feeling.
Right. Yeah. But could I make the argument as well, Taz? He's going to be the guy in Minnesota if he signs for $90 million guaranteed over the course of the next 3 years. Yes. I mean, he is going to be the quarterback of the team. They've never won a Super Bowl. They fell short last year with a bad performance in the NFC Championship game. And wherever he goes.
But I want to count on that for a second.
Yeah.
Yes, you can say that. Absolutely. Say whatever you want. The thing with that, though, here, Moose, is that I also feel if Cousins goes to the Vikings, so yes, he's going to make $90 million and change, but now it's like if he's having a bad day or he's having a bad couple of weeks, ended up winning, then the media and everybody in Minnesota, everybody everywhere, put Case in, put Keenum in. He's great coming off the bench. Put Keenum in. With the Jets, he ain't going to have that. With the Jets, it's going to be, I'm saying, he will be the guy.
Right.
Flat out. That's all I'm saying. With less resources, and I think in the number one market in the world, in the number one metropolis of the world, and I feel like this guy might want that pressure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he ultimately what he wants. If he wants the most money, I think it's the Jets. I think he's going to face a pressurized situation regardless of where he goes.
True.
New York is a lot more difficult of a landscape than Minnesota and the Vikings in terms of the fan base, especially with the expectations of signing that kind of a contract. But playing to the point that I made earlier on the show, Taz, I think Cousins is smart to where, and I don't know how big of a factor, might not be a factor in his mindset in any way, shape, or form. I think if he sits down and looks at when he has been successful and having the right talent around him and an organization has built a team around him, coming from Washington, there's a lot more of a leap of faith with the Jets than there is with the Vikings. So the Vikings, you step into a scenario where a lot of the pieces are already in place.
Yeah.
With the Jets, it's a matter of you're going to be part of the building process and we're going to be paying you a ridiculous amount of money. There's a lot of pressure for him to be great, to make guys around him great. And I'll tell you, as I've said before, the knock on Cousins, Taz, is I don't think he makes guys around him great. I think he's able to play great with great players. I think that's where you're looking at Kirk
Cousins. Right. I agree with that. But I don't know. I feel like this Case Keenum move to Minnesota, if this is all going to be, this is not firmed up yet. But
Denver.
I'm sorry, Denver, my bad. I think that's something that maybe inspires Cousins to be like, you know what? I want to go to New York. I want to go to New York.
You might be
I want
right.
that pressure. I mean, but you make immensely good points on this.
You might be right. The Jets were sold it. They had their meeting with Cousins' agent yesterday. All the chips in the table, so they let it be known that they want him, and that's been well reported. We've talked about it for weeks on end here, Taz, since we launched the show on January 2nd. You know, Kirk Cousins has been a huge topic of conversation. So it's going to be fascinating, ultimately, what he decides to do. And, you know, I don't disagree with you. I think ultimately it probably ends up being the Jets, but I'm making an argument in terms of why he would look at Minnesota as being a little bit more enticing. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I'm just going to get your opinion. If Cousins goes to the Jets, you think it's straight up because of the massive money? That's the reason why. If let's say, you know, fantasy booking, he goes, boom, he's done. He's on the Jets.
I think maybe you look at the market. I think there's other things you can look at.
I think the market's
a big
part of it.
You look at the market in New York. You can't tell me you're stepping into a situation that you want to win.
Right. Well, I agree with that. No, I know.
The one thing. I think the finances, I think the New York maybe doing something special. I think all that plays. I think it's a matter of how he's treated, because I feel like he didn't feel like he was necessarily treated as the guy down in Washington.
Yeah.
And Taz, he wants to have his rear end kissed. Cousins wants to be treated
like
the number one guy.
But
I think he's going to be treated like that by any organization he goes to now.
Listen, we all remember Joe Namath.
Right.
He's arguably the last greatest quarterback for the Jets.
Right.
Richard Todd wasn't that guy. So that's
Chad
for sure.
Pennington.
For those that remember Richard Todd or Chad Pennington. But I'm joking. But look, I think that you brought up his ego, Kirk Cousins. And all these guys have egos. But I got to tell you, for a guy like Cousins, his ego's got to be the size of Texas. Because he right now hasn't really done, 2 years. His claim to fame was 2 years ago. He threw for 5,000 yards. 2 years ago.
You know
what I mean? And 2 years ago, I was 12 pounds lighter. Yeah. I mean, so I'm just saying, 2 years ago don't mean squat at the end of the day. I'm not knocking your point, but, you know, just saying.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
He wants his ass kissed. He doesn't. He will be with the Jets.
Right. It's more, I think every guy's got an ego. Maybe I didn't explain it right. The way that you know, I've read it is that down in Washington, he was brought in as the fourth round draft choice when they drafted RG3. RG3 was treated like the cat's meow. When that whole situation imploded, there was never this all-in true belief that Kirk Cousins was the guy. And I think he wants to step into an organization where he saw, as I heard Albert Breer explain it, he saw as a franchise quarterback was treated. He saw it from the outside looking in with RG3. Never felt that way down in Washington, the way that the Redskins treat him. And rightfully so. They paid him. Yeah. They paid him like a franchise
Definitely
quarterback.
Paid him. Yeah.
But they did not openly, whether it be the GM mispronouncing his name, whether it be the criticisms of Jay Gruden, whether it be the backlash at times maybe to a down performance in the media and certain leaks. There were certain things. I mean, even had a couple of defensive backs this past offseason say they never felt like Kirk Cousins was all in. So there's a lot that goes into down in Washington, but I'm sure he's got a mountain-sized ego, Taz. How could you not? I mean, everybody's basically falling over themselves to sign him.
How do you like it now?
So, from Denver.
So what happens, right? So now let's say you are Kirk Cousins and you go to Minnesota. Now, I'm assuming they will not keep Bradford around and Bridgewater around, both. They'll keep one, right? I would guess.
I don't know if Bridgewater might want to put himself in a situation where he could compete for a starting job. Sam Bradford might want to put himself in a situation where he could compete for a starting job. That door, in all likelihood, is closed in Minnesota as long as Cousins stays upright.
I know.
They're not going to the bench. If you're paying a guy $30 million a year, they're not going to the bench.
Yeah. No, they're not going to the bench.
You are the guy in Minnesota, just like you would be the guy in New York. So I would think that Bridgewater and Bradford would go to a team where they'd have an opportunity or at least a light at the end of the tunnel where they could conceivably see some playing time.
Yeah,
I would venture a guess. I don't know.
And if anybody thinks that I'm crazy for thinking that this guy here, Cousins, is going to go to the Jets and it's not just because of the money, you could call and tell me, 855-212-4227. But I really think that he wants to not just have his butt kissed, but he wants to do something very special and take a team maybe to the promised land that's not expected to be and do it on his back. I really think that's what this guy wants to do.
Yeah, I don't think that's outlandish. I don't think it's a crazy thought. I think it's fair. I think the Jets have the financial wherewithal, as does Minnesota. It's going to be fascinating to see ultimately what he decides to do. And we should know in probably the next 2 or 3 days what Cousins is going to do as NFL free agency officially gets going at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. We'll get into the Cousins letter, which was intriguing and baffled some people on Monday. We'll get into that next. Taz and the Moose as we roll right along here on this Tuesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yes, as we roll right along here on this Tuesday morning, it is Taz of the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio. We talk a lot about Kirk Cousins, and the stewardship, or I should say the courtship of Cousins, has begun. The Jets were the first team in Minnesota, obviously intrigued. And Cousins, I thought, sent out an interesting letter, Taz, on his website yesterday. And he said, in quote, all in part, for the first time in 11 years, I'll participate in choosing where I play. Having said this, I would not trade the past decade for anything. Knowing I will not be put on a Redskins jersey next season, it's hard to look back on all that's taken place and not be emotional. At the time, many people saw this selection as foolish. Time proved otherwise and taught me that there are no guarantees in the business. If you look hard and learn from your mistakes, good things can happen for the first time in 11 years. So you look at it, Cousins thank Kerrigan, Gruden, Bruce Allen, the Redskins organization, Trent Williams, Jordan Reed, a number of certain players that he did thank as well in the letter on his website. And at the end of it, he also was grateful to Mike Shanahan for bringing him into the organization, did tag the Vikings and the Jets in it.
You know, that's not the part that makes me laugh. The part that makes me laugh is that the guy actually has a website. Who has websites anymore? Like, you don't hear this anymore. Usually you post stuff on, Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or social media, but he's got a website, and the tags are, which makes me laugh, because if you think about what he did here, he tagged all this different stuff: Classic, Cousins, DC, Dream, Faith, Family, Farewell, Football, all this shit. Jets, but I don't understand, if you put it on a website, why are you tagging things? Like, it's not like a hashtag on a website. If it's on a website, Mike, am I missing something? You got the social media team.
Yeah, the team just informed me in my ear. So when you tag on a website, it's just a way to, when people do a Google search, if they Google Jets.
Oh, from a tag on a web. I knew it was social media that works. Right, so the hashtag with the actual number sign, you know, the hashtag.
Right.
I didn't know it works on a, oh, that makes a little more sense then. Okay. That's my opinion. As far as him tagging New York and the Vikings. Yeah, I mean, he could be sending people on a wild goose chase. Who knows? I think it was smart. It's just to keep people talking, you know?
Yeah, I think it's funny more so than anything. It's a little strange when you're thanking the organization that you just played for, and then you're putting the Jets and the Vikings. Whether you're being genuine with the
comments.
Well, it
comes off disingenuous.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the only thing that comes across. Like, you're playing the game. And so that's I don't think it really came across all that well. And they eventually, someone got to him because they eventually removed the text. So it was thrown out there.
That's what he
wanted. Everyone jumped on it. Everyone reacted to it. Everyone gave you a comment and a thought process on it, Taz. and then eventually they removed the tags of the Vikings and the Jets on it. I think if you're thanking an organization, I don't think two other organizations should be at the bottom of that letter. I don't care what kind of traction you're trying to get on Google or search engines, whatever it might be. I think you just throw it out there for whatever it is, and you thank everybody, and you know that time is moving on, and you're done with playing with the Redskins.
Well, I look at it a little different. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I think most would agree with you. I think from a fan, from the fan's perspective, if you're a Redskin fan like you are, and any Redskins fan, yeah, it does look disingenuous. It doesn't look cool. It's not right. But if you look at it from a player perspective, and you said it so well in the last segment, how the GM, when he came in, pronounced his name wrong. The RG3 love, and it wasn't love for Cousins. So he felt like he was treated like a punk. So then he turned around on the way out the door while he's going to get paid. So I'm a punk you. And that's called a receipt in my business. I got no problem with that. I see why he did it, and I got no problem with that part. But I understand why people think it could be disingenuous and it wasn't right that he did that.
Yeah, I guess take the high road. I can understand that. That's fair. And it was Bruce Allen a couple years ago when free agency called him Kurt instead of Kirk. But that's when they were going through the first round robin. I believe it was when they initially tagged him and couldn't come to terms on a long-term contract. But, yeah, you could look at that where you're getting the last say.
Yeah.
And you had a little bit of a bite back against the Redskins.
Ticked off. Yeah.
Yeah, bothered by it, bothered by the way he was treated. I mean, they paid him a lot of money the last 2 years. Whether you want to admit it or not, he doesn't have to sign any more contracts to be set up for the rest of his life. He doesn't have to make another dollar. He's made well over, I think it's around in the neighborhood of $50 million so far in his NFL playing career. Might be even a little bit more than that. I mean, he's made a ridiculous amount of money.
Well, he should take some of that money and buy some Twitter followers because he's only got 220,000, which is kind of weak for a guy like this. So just give you my opinion.
Well, if he signs with the Jets, I'm sure that'll go up.
I think
it'll probably be about 500,000.
Probably.
Or maybe if it's Minnesota, he wins a Super Bowl. I'm sure that'll bump up even a little bit more. He's got to come up with you know, the catchphrase, you like that. Maybe he does a little bit differently wherever other organization goes with. Or maybe that's the same thing.
To be honest with you.
Maybe that's the same thing that he rolls with.
That's
you like that. I like the idea of proving a lot of people wrong.
Pete the Body, still, as a Jet fan, you still want this guy?
I want him at the right price. I don't want him at $30 million. Right price or go in the draft.
Mm-mm-mm. There it is. Pete the Body has spoken. The man who has two sides of his mouth, and he speaks on both sides. One at 6 to 9 a.m. and then one from 9 to noon on the DA show. So
I work both sides.
He works both sides.
There's at least you're an honest man.
That's exactly right. Coming up straight ahead, we're going to get into the Taz and the Moose bracket challenge and give you a little bit of a feel in terms of what you need to do in order to get involved as the NCAA tournament gets going officially on Thursday. But the next two nights, we got big-time college hoops games. A doubleheader in Dayton, Ohio tonight. Doubleheader tomorrow night, anchored by the Syracuse Orange playing as well. That is appointment television. But we'll get into the bracket challenge and what you need to know, how to fill out, how to go up against Taz and myself, Pete the Body, Mikey B, AB, everybody that is on this program, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time here, Monday through Friday, right here. Where else? CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.